show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes. With Wallace Eaton, Elmer Cogan, June Whitfield, and the keynotes, all inviting you to...
Take it from me.
Jimmy, since you showed me over your farm last week, you know what part has lingered with me most? The pigsty.
But I said I'm sorry about that, Bentley. You should never have leant over the swill tub in the first place. My pitchfork just seemed to sort of move independently of me.
Yes, well, I didn't mean that episode.
Oh.
I meant that litter of newborn piglets, particularly the tiny one. Why was he so much smaller than the others?
Well, see now, how can I put it simply? There was a litter of 13, and his mummy could only lay places for 12.
Is that a fact?
Yes.
Oh, poor little thing. It was so tiny. So tiny and chubby and pink. Reminded me of Charles Maxwell in the Turkish Baths. Jimmy, what's going to happen to that little pig?
Oh, he'll probably get an offer from commercial television and then we...
Not Charles Maxwell, the 13th piglet. You know, I haven't been able to get him off my mind. Oh. You see, I too have known what it's like to be the unwanted one. The one the gang never said hello to. The one that never got asked out on dates. Then I discovered sticko, denture, fixative.
Hey, what?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. It was that mention of commercial television. I got carried away, yes. What I meant was I felt a bond of sympathy with that baby piglet. I don't know. Perhaps it was just youth calling to youth.
More likely ham calling to ham, I should say. Anyway, what are you driving at, Bentley?
I'd like to adopt that piglet, Jim.
What?
I'd like to give it a chance in life. Take the place of its father.
Oh.
What? Is that possible? Now, could I become, to all intents and purposes, a boar?
Oh, well, silly question to ask. But anyway, I'll have to tell the girl who looks after the pigs. Did you notice her, a big blonde?
Very attractive. Yes, you must inform her, Jimmy. Mm. So that if she finds me prowling around late at night, she'll realize it's just my love of animals.
Oh, I see. The picture is suddenly becoming clearer to me.
There'll be no need for her to start screaming like last time. Because I've... Yes. You see, I've got a perfect alibi to... Jimmy, what are you doing with that pitchfork?
Well, Alma, will you sing loud enough to cover the sound of an elderly gentleman being pronged?
No, Jimmy. Oh, yes. No. Ah.
Just one more time before we say goodnight. I want to hold you tight. Just one more time. Say who you love, as only you can do. I want those words from you. Just one more time. I know we'll meet tomorrow night at a quarter after eight, but that's tomorrow night and I can't wait. Oh, honey, please, I want a kiss and then I want a kiss again. Just one more time. I know we'll meet tomorrow night at a quarter after eight, but that's tomorrow night, so I can't wait. Oh, honey, please, I want a kiss and then I want a kiss again, just one more time.
Jim, I can't stay long. I promise to get the missus one of them things what women have to have before they can wear a topless evening gown.
Well, a special undergarment?
No, a bath. Enough wearing being posh, Jim.
Poor old wealthy Walt. Yeah. I should have thought you could now afford to disregard such niceties.
Not the missus, Jim. She insists that now we're in the knob class, we behave befitting. Oh, you should see us at meal times. We got 3 footmen working full time on just a gravy boat.
3 footmen?
1 stirring, 1 keeping his finger on the skin, the other dipping our bread for us.
Ah, poor old Wall. And you have to study good form, too?
Not all. The missus says I got to have savoir faire. Me. 6 months ago, I didn't even have bus fare. And some of this etiquette stuff, it's downright unnatural. Here, you know you're supposed to pull a lady's chair back before she sits down.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, everybody does.
Well, I did it to a lady. She didn't think it at all funny. You uncouth hound, she says. I could have broken me leg. It's not always the rich what get the pleasure, Jim.
Ah, but it very often is. We've seen a lot of them enjoying themselves lately, haven't we, forward dunners?
Yes, sir, we have. It's the season which a lot of wealthy tourists choose to visit Great Britain. And to show what a grand time they do have, we made this recording of one of our chaps interviewing a typical couple.
Yes, standing beside me are Mr. and Mrs. Glenn D. Ruttensack of Ohio, which is a place somewhere in America. Both these charming people appear to be encased in a sort of trellis work of leather straps.
Cameras, boy, cameras. I'd like to say right now how much we like England.
Lor, lummy, not our full cock. Isn't that what you say?
No, not personally, no, I don't. And have you acquired many souvenirs of your visit to Europe?
Sure I have, boy, sure I have. Got a hold of some pretty rare stuff. For $3,000, we picked up a manuscript of Shakespeare's Hamlet in Shakespeare's own typing.
And do you know, in Rome, we were privileged to pay $8,000 for a small statue, which the gentleman with the barrow assured us was of Quo Vadis himself.
Oh, probably only a copy.
Oh, you know, we'd dearly love to acquire further antiquities of this nature, but unfortunately we have to leave tomorrow.
Oh, dear.
Oh, if only we could find someone to look for these bargains for us.
Say, how about you, boy?
Me?
Oh, yeah, if we left $20,000 or $30,000 with you, would you be interested?
Lord, let me not half, old cock.
Tonight's talking point. Once again, we meet the Glums, our family of ordinary people chafing at life's bit. Today, their talking point is, isn't it odd that you have to have a big wedding in order to have a little one? Over to the Glums.
Oh, wrong. Only another fortnight. A mere 2 weeks, and then... Tum, tum, da-da, da-da, da. Isn't it funny? Now our wedding's so near, I'm a bit frightened. I mean, getting married is so, well, irrevocable. It's so sort of forever. Well, after all, it is till death us do part.
Cheer up, eh? That might be quite soon.
Oh, Ron, dear, you're so level-headed.
I know, eh? It's my crew cut.
Ron, don't you think it would be nice to thank Mr. Glum now for the way he's brought you up to manhood and all the things he's done for you?
Yes, eh? What thing?
Oh, well, you know, Ron, cherishing you and lending you his puncture outfit. I think a thank you would show you're a dutiful son. You really should have done it already. There are some things a boy should do without having to be reminded.
Right, are we?
No, I didn't mean that, Ron.
Go on, just a kiss.
Oh, no, not now, Ron. Now,
well, hello, 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 hello.
Ron, jump in the gun. Here, Ron, just slip your mum's toothbrush back in her tumbler. I thought I'd never get my bicycle chain clean.
Go on, Ron.
Dad, Eth wants me to show you I'm a beautiful son.
What's that, eh?
I must thank you for the way you have brought me up to manhood and done for me.
Oh, Ron, son, my baby boy.
My dad.
What a nice thing to say. Oh, you know, Eth, Mrs. Glum and I are... We're trying not to think of how lonely the house is going to be without him. How empty the bathroom shelf will be without his sulfur tablets. How bare the fruit bowl without his cycling socks.
Oh, Mr. Glum.
Oh, it's sad. You know, we're surrounded by childhood memories of him. Look at that photo on the wall there. Oh. That shows him only 2 hours after he was born.
Yes, that's me.
Yeah. Mm. That's me in the background arguing with the doctor. And look at that one. See that photo there? Ron as a schoolboy. Oh, I can see him now toddling off with his gloves tied round his neck and clutching in his little hand his penny in case. Yeah. In case he wanted to come home by tram.
Glum, you make me feel guilty.
Well, it's just life, Eth. The fledgling grows up in the warm nest. Then one day he stretches his wings, finds himself a bird and has a flutter. It's the way of the world, Eth. And very nice, too.
Ron, I suppose so.
Yes. You know, all I can say to you two is if you're as half as happy together as Mrs. Glum and I have been... So why look on the black side? We should be festive. Mama! We're going to have a drink to our lad's happiness. So nip down your off-license and get a jug of the Star for Life. If you want to get there before they shut, you better jump on my bike. Oh, Lummy, perhaps I should have told her I'd taken the saddle off.
Lovely day on top of a load of hay. All the world is millions of miles away. The old grey mare will get us there. She won't hurry and I should worry. I haven't got a care. I'm okay on top of a load of hay. Hard at work with nothing to do all day. My only view, a sky of blue. Life is lovely because you told me you love me. Sun slowly sinking.
Wish you were with me, I'm thinking.
Both arms around me.
Oh, what a thrill it would be.
Every day on top of a load of hay. I'm the king of everything I survey. The sun is bright, the world's all right. I'm contented because you consented to marry me. The sun is bright, the world's all right. I'm contented because you consented to marry me.
Lovely day. We Yes. Three more brandies and soda, please. I say, Bentley, my nephew wants me to take him to a circus. You know anything about circuses?
Oh, yes, Your Grace. No. I used to perform in a circus. No. Did a balancing act with a 6-foot pole.
Why do you give it up?
He went back to Poland.
But, I say, look here. Oh, no, madam, don't go mad. Goodness me, an old joke like that. Now, Your Grace, if you really want to know what circus life is really like, on with the motley. The circus has finished for the night now. Behind the big top, lights are switched on in the painted caravans as the performers retire to rest. Come with me along the line of caravans and let's listen to the people of the circus off duty.
I missed you tonight, Alice. I miss you every night.
That was the knife thrower talking to his wife. Let us listen at the next caravan.
Oh, Fred, what a peculiar place to put a bunch of flowers.
That was the tattooed lady talking to her tattooist. The next caravan with the old horse quietly grazing outside belongs to Babette, the dainty little bareback rider. But what's this sound we hear? Poor Babette, she does look depressed. I wonder if the elephant sat on her again. I'll go in and cheer her up.
Who's that?
It's me. It's me, Jimbo the clown. The funny little fellow with the red nose and baggy trousers. I've come to cheer you up.
What is it, Jimbo?
Your horse has just dropped dead.
Oh, Jimbo. I've had it for 5 years. It used to be a Liberty horse.
Well, now it's a dead Liberty. Please don't cry anymore, Babette. You're rusting all your spangles. Let me make you laugh with some of my funny little antics. Here, look, Babette, when I take my clown's hat off, look, there's a hatchet sticking in the top of my head.
Oh, how funny you are, Jimbo. Yeah. It looks exactly as if it is sticking in your head. Oh, I do think you're sweet. I bet you spent a lot of money on that false skull.
What false skull?
Jimbo!
I stood behind a chap who was chopping wood.
You did that just to cheer me up.
Yeah, I've got a splitting headache.
Oh, Jimbo, I think you're the only real friend I've got in the circus.
Do you, Babette? Mm. Well, would you go out with me tomorrow afternoon? I've got 2 free tickets for a ride on the ghost train. I'm very pally with the chap who sits up in the coffin and moans.
Well...
Oh, please say yes, Babette.
All right, Jimbo. Tomorrow afternoon, then. Good night now.
Good night, Babette. Pardon me for not raising my hatchet.
What a funny, pathetic little figure he is. He's very sweet. But can a girl find happiness with a man whose nose lights up? Still, I shall go out with him. It may help me forget my hopeless passion for Captain Ricardo, the incredibly handsome lion tamer. Who's that?
Captain Ricardo, the incredibly handsome lion tamer.
Oh.
Hello, little Babette. I've called round for a purpose. I dreamt about you last night.
Oh.
I thought you might like to know how much you enjoyed yourself.
You dreamt about me? But I thought you had eyes only for Lola, the lady contortionist.
I tired of her. It meant a bit of a scene parting from her. I left her sobbing brokenheartedly into the small of her back. Silly, twisted girl.
And now it's me. Oh, Ricardo.
Just call me Rick. We're going to make hay. Look, I won this afternoon in the fairground. I want you to have it, my dear. It matches your hair.
Oh, a coconut for me.
Come now, no blushes. Why should a coconut make you shy?
Because I am only a little bareback rider, and you're Captain Ricardo, the star of the circus. Oh, if you knew how often I've cheered your bravery. How I've held my breath when the lion put his head in your mouth.
One tries to be different.
Now enough of the preliminaries. You will meet me tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, tomorrow afternoon when I...
2 o'clock at the Tunnel of Love. The attendant will show you to my private tub. Bring provisions for 24 hours.
But, Ricardo, I already have a date for tomorrow afternoon with Jimbo, the clown.
With Jimbo? You're jesting, surely.
Oh, it will break his heart if I don't turn up.
Little fool.
Oh.
How can you think of another man when Ricardo holds you? Let me show you what one kiss from me can do.
Oh, it's exploded my coconut. Oh, Rick, I'll be there.
Let me just stroke that soft cheek again. Oh, like peaches and cream. There's only one word for you. Gorgeous.
Captain Ricardo...
How dare you interrupt me while I'm shaving?
Oh. I didn't notice. Captain Ricardo, you're not going to take my Babette away from me. Oh, I've seen you dazzling her with gifts of candy floss and hot whelks, but... I can offer her more. Love.
Love? What do you know of love? You're only a painted clown.
Yes, only a painted clown. But can't a clown know true love? Just because twice nightly I empty a bucket of cold water down me baggy trousers, does that mean I got no feelings? Captain Ricardo... Beneath this gaudy grease paint, there lies a true heart.
You mean you put grease paint on your chest?
Well, I had a bit of a cough coming on. We clowns are no different from other men. Have we not hands, eyes, affections, passions? If you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? And if you wrong us, shall we not revenge?
Jimbo, that's the height of insolence.
No, it's a Merchant of Venice. You've been warned, Captain Ricardo. Take Babette into that tunnel of love, and you'll know the revenge of a broken-hearted clown.
Oh, I shouldn't have come into this tunnel of love with you, Ricardo, but I'm afraid.
Little goose, you're trembling. Here, slip this round you.
What is it?
My arm. If it's Jimbo you're thinking about, don't worry. He won't be allowed in here. I told the man at the flap to keep the shipping lane clear. Now, snuggle closer.
Oh, Ricardo, wait. What's that distant chugging noise?
It's my pulse.
Oh, no. Look behind you. It's Jimbo overtaking us in a motorboat.
The devil must have swiped it from the boating pool.
Stop immediately! If I don't get this back before 2:53, I'll lose my deposit! Stop, I say!
He's gone mad. Quick, Babette, paddle like the devil.
Stop or I fire!
Oh, look, Ricardo. He's got a cannon mounted on his bows.
It's the one Senor Carlos, the human cannonball, is shot out of.
Oh.
Stop! Heave to or I'll fill you full of Senor Carlos! Very well, then. Revenge is mine!
He's hold us. Quick, Babette, row faster. He's reloading with Mrs. Carlos. Babette, Babette, where are you? Jimbo, hold you. Fire, you crazy fool. You got Babette!
She's coming round. Look, she's opening her eyes.
What happened?
The cannon blew you into the water. You floated round the tunnel of love for 2 days before we found you.
Oh, Babette, can you forgive me? I must have been mad. I see now that a dainty little creature like you could never love a grotesque buffoon like me.
But I do, Jimbo, darling.
What?
When a man follows a girl up a tunnel with a cannon, that is true love.
Oh, Babette, you've made me so happy. Let me bring your smiles back again. Shall I do one of my funny little antics again?
Oh, yes, Jimbo.
The one with the hatchet, what made you laugh so much before?
Oh, yes.
Oh, right. Where's that hatchet gone? Oh, well, here it is. Now, look.
Very funny. Now, how the blazes do I get my hat on?
pair of Inuits and the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield and the keynotes. The announcer was David Dunhill. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...
David Price.